I was eating junk. I had just had two children back to back.
I used to not be able to get on the ground.
I never, ever daily exercise.
Before, if I'd get down, I'd need a chair or something to help me get back up.
I was 84 pounds heavier at one time.
I was always a big dude, but I couldn't move around.
That all changed when they met Diamond Dallas Page.
I started doing yoga, man. I started doing a thing called DDP yoga. It's not your mama's yoga.
WCW heavyweight champion, known for his signature move, the Diamond Cutter.
Diamond Cutter!
Took what he learned recovering from an injury and years in the ring and created DDP yoga.
Working out combined with the eating habits, it was a huge difference. I felt so much better.
It's a lot of fun for me because I never used to be able to be active. Now I'm on the floor, I'm rolling around. It's pretty cool. More than importantly, I just want to be alive. I'm down about 110 pounds.
DDP yoga can work for anyone.
Bang!
DDP.
DDP Radio.
High five.
Well, hello, my fellow DDP yoga warriors. It is Wednesday night. It is 9 p.m. Eastern time where we currently are broadcasting live from Budokan. Oh, wait, no, never mind. Live from Raleigh, North Carolina, where I currently reside on the 194th story of the DDP Radio Megaplex. And if you point the tower north and you shoot that thousands and thousands and thousands of volts of amps across the freaking USA, up towards the Great White North, it will bounce off some mountain and bounce into the home of Crystal Stewart, the Canadian Quiltmaster herself, where she will join us live for DDP Radio. My co-host, the lovely and talented Crystal Stewart, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, man, what a week. You know, I got all my friends saying, you know when you're getting older, when you pretty much, like, injure your ribs reaching for something across a couch, and that's where I'm at. So, but I'm looking forward to feeling better in a couple of days. It's just, rib injuries, like, those suck because you don't realize how much you take every movement for granted. You don't realize how much you take going to the bathroom just at will to be able to stand up to pee, and so you have to, like, really just wrench yourself up off the chair to go to the bathroom. So
yeah.
Those are the little things you take for granted. But, I'm going to be feeling better soon, I know.
We promise not to DDT you.
All right. Yeah, that probably would not be fun.
No.
So, the worst thing about that is just the moving and get a little bit of a, lose a little bit of wind when you're trying to talk. So I may be a little bit more subdued than normal, which is probably a gift. An early Christmas gift for the audience, Mike Mullins, tuned down a half a step, Katie's been asking for that for 10 years, so consider yourself lucky.
That's funny, because I just heard Matt in Alaska.
Oh, boy, I can imagine what he's got to say. This is a McAdoo-free zone.
No.
But, I the ultimate irony is a couple years ago, I had really started to put on a couple pounds, put on a little bit of weight. And, my body was just starting to feel that. And I'm like, ugh, this is, you really start to notice once you put on a little bit of weight and you stop working out for a few weeks. So my back was really sore for, one day when we had gone out and done something all day. So I went to go put Icy Hot on my back. And it's hard to reach back there, big guy and all. So I, cranked my back, my arms to the side to put the Icy Hot in my back. And I threw my back out trying to put Icy Hot on my sore back. Like, there's the ultimate getting old story.
Oh, my God. So, you do yourself an injury. Well,
but, luckily we come from a show here and we come from a community where there's a lot of people who have limitations, and there's a lot of people dealing with a lot more serious injuries than my dumb one that are overcoming those things every single day. And, there's a lot of people here who, deal with daily pain and, fight it using the tools given to us by DDP and the DDP Yoga program, DDPY program. It's really inspiring because I haven't been someone who's dealt with chronic pain, and I've never really, you know, been very much in pain for more than a few days at a time here and there. So when you're kind of dealing with something like this, you really learn to appreciate the people in the struggle every day dealing with that kind of thing, and how they're able to, you know, power through and use that grit and determination to just get on the mat. Because for me right now, it's the easiest thing in the world to sit in this recliner. You probably couldn't pay me $1,000 to get off of it. That's how I'm feeling right now. But there's a lot of people who that's their daily life, and somehow they find a way to get up and they find a way to keep moving. And, you know, it's just another, you know, story of, you know, people overcoming the odds. And, you know, that's what the Warrior of the Week here is about. And I know, Crystal, you always are digging deep into the community for just, you know, inspiring stories, inspiring people. And I know you brought us somebody tonight, and I know a lot of people here in the community know him because he's been around for a while. He's a fun guy. He's always got that social media swag going, and he's like the mayor of the mayor of Team DDP Yoga, because he's always up there shaking hands, kissing babies, and you know, campaigning for the DDP Yoga universe, and representing himself as a success story in the DDPY universe. And we're going to bring him on right now. You've probably heard him all over the place before, and I've seen his name a million times, but I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce it correctly, because I don't think I've actually ever heard it. I've seen it, but Jesse Ruggieri.
Right on the money, dude.
All right.
What's going on, fellas?
How are you, man?
I'm all right. So, yeah, this is an extreme honor. 6 years later. What's up?
I know.
Yeah,
you know,
well.
All right, man?
Well,
so,
it's
you know, like I said, you.
All right,
Mom,
you go.
No. I was just saying, you know, you've been bouncing around here forever, man, and you're one of those, you know, stories that you hear about in the DDP Yoga universe, and you see it on the website and all the, you know, the print stuff. But you're one of those, you know, explanations, not explanations, I don't know before, examples of sticking with it. You know, there's a lot of people who, you know, quite frankly, have come and gone over the years, and, you know, to varying success. Some people struggle a little bit and take some time off, and you're just one of those guys that's always been around, just always hitting the mat and always staying consistent. And I said this to guys like Pat McDermott and, you know, a bunch of other people who just stick with it. You know, they just keep at it, and eventually you're going to have a success story, whether or not you get to, you know, your end goal or whatever your goal may be. If you keep hitting the mat, you're always going to be, winning, in my book.
You want to know the secret?
What's that?
Well, it's a quick story, but it's not even a secret as much as more as it is, like, you know, like an awakening. I did a veterans run for PTSD this past weekend, and, you know, it's this team of veterans that do physical activities to deal with PTSD. And shout out, I'll be hosting a DDP yoga workout for them August 17th, Medwell Spa, Farmingdale. So they do these series of these runs, you know, nonstop. And I finished the run, and this guy Rob says to me, he goes, "So, dude, am I going to see you in 2 weeks at the next run?" I said, "No, dude, I'm sorry. I have to run the Pride Run in Long Beach for my friends Kat and Ava, who I love with every fiber of my being. We all know Kat and Ava, but I want to represent them."
Yep.
And he goes, "No, you don't have to. You get to run for them."
Yeah.
And you know, as it is in DDP Yoga, we get to roll out the mat. We get to quote Dallas over and over again at every point in the workout, which I got it down to the exact minutes. But, you know, you get to choose a healthy lifestyle. And, you know, my body's been limited, Mullins, throughout my life. I've been in pain. You know, I'm a three-time tumor survivor, cancer, cardiac ablation, car accident. I died. You name it. I went through it. And So I use all that, and I use the fact that I get to stay consistent. I get to live this life that I choose to live, dude.
That's amazing.
For sure, man. And you know, you really get a greater appreciation of things when you see what a lot of other people are going through. And I know there's somebody near and dear to all of us in the DDPY community. There's several people, obviously, but is struggling and dealing with like real heavy issues. And you know, every once in a while, I catch myself getting into a place of cynicism. And when you realize, you know, how much a lot of other people are really, really suffering, you feel almost ridiculous for complaining about the day-to-day, you know, bullshit that will pop up or the inconveniences and stuff. You know, we all have shit going on, but, you know, there's a lot of people who are really dealing with some real heavy stuff, and, you know, you forget that sometimes. You get caught up in your own world, you get caught up in your own cynicism and pity party. But ultimately, the fact that we're up here breathing and we're talking on this show right now, and, you know, we're doing all right. You know, things are all right. There's always a way to get around the bullshit, the day-to-day stuff, and you got to be, you know, feel lucky and feel, feel good about being able to do what we do. And, you know, you talked about your serious issues, car accidents and, you know, the cancer scares and all this stuff. You know, you probably have a different take on things just from the experiences that you've had. Those are pretty heavy things that when you come out the other side of, you know, you really learn to appreciate the little day-to-day things.
Oh, but listen, let's make no mistake about it. It took a very long time, you know? And you know, you go through these bouts of depression and people telling you you're so lucky, you're a fighter, you survived. You know, I saw a lot of kids in the ICU, in the cancer ward. I saw them die. I saw them dying. And part of you deep down for a long time says, was I lucky? You know, because you wake up in pain and your body hurts and your mind hurts and you feel so alone. See, I don't want to contradict you guys, but, like, you know, that little stuff that you go through, Mike or Crystal, that you may think is not that big of a deal compared to other people, I don't see the world through your guys' eyes. I can't judge your pain, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, a paper cut to someone may be like, that's not that bad. You know, to other people, it could be the worst pain in the world because, you know, we all have a different pain tolerance. We all have this different way we experience, and that's what makes this journey we are on so freaking beautiful.
Right. I agree.
Yeah, like I can't judge someone that says, you know, you know, I fell down and sprained my ankle. How do I not know they don't have a bone problem, you know, or a low calcium, and maybe that sprain feels like a break, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
For sure. And, you know, it is, you know, everyone's got their own battle, their daily battles, and, you know, when you've had your battles, you've gone through all this stuff, so I'm sure that gives you a little bit of empathy towards people who are struggling, and I know that you do a lot of work, you know, teaching your classes and you know, teaching, you know, kids, passing on the knowledge that you've gotten through the DDPY universe. But to start from the beginning, give us a quick rundown of you know, how you got here. What's your DDPY origin story? What was the catalyst to make you initially take that first, you know, plunge into the community?
I think like the rest of the OG gangsters of DDP yoga, I was surfing YouTube one night, wrestling clips, like, you know, so I'm shuffling through old WCW clips, and this may seem like I'm talking stack, but I'm not, but I was an NWO fan. I love nothing more than watch Dallas get his butt kicked. But so I'm surfing the clips. I click on the Arthur Borman video, and I'm watching it, and, like, you know, it's like me and my dog in my room. I start crying, you know. So before the video's out, I got my credit card out. I'm ordering the DVDs. And then you know, and that was pretty much it. And then so the DVDs come. I'm doing the Diamond Dozen. I'm holding plank on my knees, in tears, begging for it to stop. You know, and just not able to move. And then when, you know, on a little 6-inch DVD player, and when he stopped, he goes, "Don't forget to do your YRG tomorrow." I slammed the thing down and said, "Blow it out here, you know what?" But then the next day, I woke up and I'm like, "Oh man, my back's not hurting me as bad." And as someone that has suffered back problems from car accidents and being laid up in hospitals and stuff, it got another go. And then another go turned into another go. And then before you know it, a week later, I'm sitting in the car with my dad, and I say, "You know, one day I'm going to teach this." 1 week into the program, and sure enough, here I am today.
I love that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And I, you know, I teach foster kids that, you know, have issues that, like, I can't even begin to put into words, you know, and that I have to protect their safety. But, yeah, that, it would break your heart if you heard half these stories. But I could tell you some of them. I teach LGBT kids that are kicked out of their house for death threats from their family to convert to being straight. And, yeah, that breaks your heart. I teach kids whose parents are in the system, prison, that, you know, don't have a role model. And I can, you know, and then I teach kids that are in the system for child safety.
Wow,
that's awesome, and that's truly giving back to the community in a really positive way. I know Crystal has some questions she wanted to hit up real quick, but I just want to ask you real quick before we get into that. You know, you talk about all the kids you work with and, you know, the stuff you do with people who are, you know, in a tough spot, and I know that you were a big kid growing up, I believe, I remember, right?
What do you mean, like weight-wise?
Yeah, you were
236 pounds.
I grew up, you know, a big guy as well. And I know that, you know, when I was younger, you're a goofball like me. You know, we like being the slapstick. We like, you know, goofing around, having a few laughs and making other people laugh. And I know initially my humor came out of a place of, insecurity and trying to beat people to the punch. And my humor came out of a negative place when I was younger. But over time, and I feel like you may have, you know, had a similar trajectory. Over time, you realize that your humor and your sense of humor and your ability to take a pratfall here and there can evolve into a place of a beautiful thing. You can take it from a place of self, shame or self, lack of confidence, and you can turn it into a gift for other people. And I know you do that. I've seen your videos all over, you know, Facebook and stuff. You just send people a goofy hello and, you know, makes them smile, or, you know, sending them something in the mail that kind of just makes them, you know, laugh or crack a smile. And obviously with those kids, it can be a gift for somebody who's in a lot of pain. Did you kind of, were you always, you know, humor? Did you always get looking for the laugh? Was it a negative thing in your early years, or is it a positive thing? You know what I'm trying to say? You can evolve from being a crutch to ending up becoming a gift for others.
There is a book on Amazon.com, which Crystal, it still hasn't cleared customs yet. I was wrong. Called Finding Life. It's the story of my car accident. And then, you know, and how I was bullied, you know, a little touch on how I was bullied in school. And I used my sense of humor because I didn't want anyone to see that I was hurting inside. So if I cracked jokes, they didn't dig any deeper, you know?
Yeah.
Because the kid that cracks jokes has no worry in the world, right? It's always laughing and always kidding. And then you're right, Mike. Mm-hmm. It did evolve because I realized that I can heal people with laughter. But in the beginning, it was because I didn't want anyone to dig any deeper. So I guess you could say it was my lioness security blanket.
Wow.
that's you know, it's so typical. So many people were bullied, and, you know, I think we all were to some point. Everyone's bullied, but, you know, some people had it a lot worse. And I knew, you know, being the fat kid with the head twitch who liked wrestling in high school, there was a lot of that going on too. And you use that to as a coping mechanism. And, you know, I'm gonna crack the joke before they can. But I'm glad that, you know, you kind of found the same place as I did. Is, you know, there is ability to move on that and take that attitude and use it for good. And you know, that's awesome that you're kind of taking that and using it in places where you can make people smile for a positive reason, and, you know, make people laugh for a positive reason. That's when your crutch becomes a tool instead of a handicap, and that's really great. And Crystal, I know that you wanted to you had a couple of questions you kind of researched, so let's see what you got.
Okay. So, Jesse, your story of health struggles is super amazing. It's one of the things that just automatically made me want you on the radio, and it's a real testament to your perseverance. My question is, do you still hear that little voice in the back of your head saying that you don't belong here?
Every day of my life.
Really?
And before I go on a run, or before I teach a class, or before I do something that, you know, I was told was impossible, I take a couple of minutes and I kind of sit there with the voices and let them hear it. And I hear them screaming, like, you can't do this, you don't belong. I hear the kids in school that called me a gimp or a cripple, save the competition for the athletes. And I use it and maybe it's wrong, but I use it as like this sick, twisted fuel, you know. I don't know if you saw the speech with The Rock on YouTube, where he's talking about, like, every minute before he went out to wrestle or for a movie, he sat there and he hung out with his demons, and he always has his back against the wall. And that's how, like, you know, I'm able to run again, because you know, or how I'm able to, you know, raise this money for these charities, or how, you know, two tough mutters in 24 hours, because those voices. Yeah, no, that's crazy.
Ooh, that's pretty crazy.
But, you know, because I hear that, and I hear people tell, you know, and I hear it over and over again. I'm going to hear it tomorrow morning when I go on a run. Before I go on that run, I'm gonna hear it. Give up. You don't belong. Save the competition for the athletes. Stay in bed, you gimp. And then I'm going to get up and put on those braces, and then I'm going to go running.
I'm so proud of you. I just need to say that.
Thanks. That's awesome.
A workout question-wise, do you use running and DDPY hand in hand, or do you kind of cycle one or the other, or do you kind of incorporate the DDPY to heal from kind of like the wear and tear of the run? Like, you've got a few different, you know, exercises you kind of incorporate into your routine. How do they work in synchronicity with each other?
I run for 13 weeks out of the year when it's tough mudder season. And then I do DDP yoga 3 times a week when once it's working out in my class. And then year-round, it's just straight-up DDP yoga. About 5 to 6 days a week.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah,
that is amazing. Jesse, are you still doing your Strong Island food plan? Or has it
changed? Yeah. Strong Island food plan, all protein, to help my muscles recover, intermittent fasting, 9 to 5 o'clock.
That's awesome. So for somebody who doesn't know what that is, that's no booze, no soda, no sugar, right?
Yep.
What am I missing?
Yep. Just straight up water, the occasional iced tea.
Yeah.
I do have a vice for caffeine lattes. Whatever.
Yeah, hey, that's all good.
Yeah. Now I know you're good friends with Kat and Ava. Two of my favorite people. I think we've told the story before, but the first thing that Kat ever came to was the DDPY event that I promoted in Dover, New Hampshire, up several years ago, and she showed up cold. Like, she had never even got on the mat, you know, once when she had first, taken on that challenge. If you've never been on the mat knowing what to expect, the DDPY live workout with Paige, pretty intense.
No kidding.
She was one of those people that she straight up, and then, explained that, my knees hurt like this, and then Paige went out of her way to kind of make accommodations and get her an extra mat, underneath her. But she is one of my favorite people in the world, and in both of those two are just amazing people, amazing human beings. And she's one of those people that you see walk into that room and never having come through, you think we're going to scare her away because this is an intense workout to do for your first time. And not only did she finish, she has incorporated herself into this community and in so many other people's lives. She's become such a huge, huge part of people's lives and inspiration in her journey. And I just wanted to acknowledge Kat and Ava because I know you guys are all close. And what an amazing group of people those, all of you guys are. But it's just such an inspiring journey.
Yeah.
She recently posted a before and after picture, and you know these people so long that you kind of, it's hard to kind of, see their journey as a big picture because you just see the day to day. And what an amazing, amazing transformation inside and out.
I can't speak for the new breed because, I've, been really busy from the community, but I can guarantee you these old OG gangsters like myself behind every one of the DDP Yoga success stories, somehow Kat and Ava have been involved. And I can tell you, Kat, I wouldn't be here today because I remember when I, the cyberspace, social media, and like people were telling me I can't do it, and I was calling them out in public. Kat would message me, homie, and I'm like, oh no, I'm in trouble. And she would tell me, you shouldn't really say that. You shouldn't really do this. You shouldn't really do that, because she was that moderator. And then, we just connected in this friendship. And Kat is one of the very few people in the world that, like, when I'm about to lose my stuff, can calm me down and get me off that ledge.
Yeah.
And a wonderful taste in music as well. Her and I have had many conversations. But, it's such a testament to the relationships that can be built through this community. There's so many of us who on paper probably never would have run into each other in the real world. We hang in different circles or, different, points of view or different likes or interests. So, the world kind of separates us naturally. But when you come into this community, you learn to, meet and engage with people who you're lucky to have that opportunity to, because you normally wouldn't, you wouldn't meet up. She's in Connecticut, you're in New York, and I'm in North Carolina, but you all come under this big banner, and you truly find somebody who's in your corner, which is a bizarre thing, because I've only been in Kat's presence a handful of times. I've never been in your guys' presence, Jesse. I've never even been in Crystal's presence face-to-face. But
nope.
You have these people
nope.
that you very you have very strong relationships with, despite the fact you've never actually, been together for long periods of time. And they're just not just strong relationships, but people that you know are genuinely in your corner. And honestly, at first, having somebody that in my corner that I didn't really know was intimidating at first for me. I don't do the online relationship. I've never done online dating or friendships online. So when you get to know these people and they're truly in your corner and you can truly count them as one of your go-to friends, despite very few interactions physically, personally, one-to-one, it's an incredible gift that this community offers. And I know that you have that with Kat and you have that with so many other people. We all do in this community. And what an amazing, just amazing asset to our journeys, asset to this program that puts us in touch with so many different people from all different walks of life that we truly love and care about.
Because what connects us? Adversity. Somehow everyone has a story or this struggle that we go through, and when you put everyone in a room together or in a community or in a social group, we're all connected because suddenly we're all empathetic because we realize, are we allowed to curse on this thing? No, we realize that suddenly someone has gone through shit just like us, you know? Suddenly someone, you know, we are not alone because someone else is struggling just like I am. And it's a little different, you know, it's a little bit of a different story, but it's still connected in the end because suddenly you got someone in your corner that is battling and it's clawing to be the person they're supposed to be.
So, Jesse, I really want to know the answer to this question. I wrote it down today, and now I want to hear it right from your mouth even more. What's your advice to naysayers?
What do you mean? Like people that think they can't do it or people that...
Yeah. People that are always willing to just take that little pound of flesh saying that you can't do something or it's impossible or why are you doing that or, you know, just that negative space. Because when you stop and look at the community, we may have all started there, but we're all in a much different boat together now. You know, we're a lot more positive and, you know, we believe that we can achieve certain things, especially together. I mean, some of us haven't met, but I'm finding that some of the people that are coming on board even now, they don't get that. They're stuck in this negative headspace what's your advice to them about convert? Get your head out of your butt.
I think if I could steal a line from Rocky Balboa in Creed, one step at a time, one punch at a time, one round at a time, because that was me in the beginning and it's still me to a certain extent, but at the end of the day, you know, you got to worry about today and do today's workout, and then maybe you'll inch a little closer to where you want to be in life, or maybe, you know, you'll just feel a little better. But that's how you got to do it. You got to take it one day at a time. You know, I don't set my workout schedule. Every morning I get up, I open the iPad, I see what's added, and I do that workout, you know, because...
Just like that.
Yep, because tomorrow isn't guaranteed, correct?
Correct.
You know,
correct,
and,
sure.
And when people told me that I can't do it, and it was still a little bit of anger, but I only said two words, watch me, and then I did it, you know?
I love your dad's advice.
Which one was that? He gave me a lot.
Yeah, you pay the toll, and they'll open the gate for you.
Yep.
that's amazing. That's amazing.
It's so true. You know, Jesse, I know you've been here a long time, and you've seen some people, you know, come and go throughout the community. And one thing this the DDPY community has been really able to do is not bully people and get them out of here if they're kind of causing something, but it has a really great way of policing itself and blocking a lot of negativity, because as you know, on the internet, it can be a cesspool of just ugliness, a lot of uglinesses. But I always say when you're on DDPY soil, whether it's a group that started with DDPY that somebody created, and if it has DDPY in the title, if it's Team DDPY, if it's DDPYoga.com, whatever it may be, if you're on that soil, we're not going to be negative. We're not going to be ugly, and we're not going to bully you out of here. But the community very quickly lets you know that this isn't a place where that bitter ugliness is tolerated. And I don't think I've ever seen anything like it on the internet, you know, that just without having to post the guidelines or harp on the rules or punish people or force them out, there's this understanding that we aren't here for that. This is a different space. And it's something that's kind of just gone on for a long time now. And it's one of the most pleasant places you can be on the internet because there's so many people who are genuinely rooting for you and rooting for your success. I always say, you know, there's some people on here that they live it inside and out. And you're one of those guys that just wears it on his sleeve, the positivity, you know. Your voice sounds pleasant. Your demeanor is pleasant. And I know I'm being legitimate. You know, you give off a vibe of friendliness and positivity, and that not only affects other people, it affects you, because you can tell that partially your success is attitude. A lot of it is attitude. The physical stuff is there too, but as soon as you let yourself dip your toes into the negative waters, I've been there. You know, you fall into the class of cynicism, it affects everything. Your workouts, your diet, your attitude, your family, your friendships, your relationships. You are one of those people that seems to be living it inside and out. And I think that's a large chunk of why you're so successful. That positivity is you know, palpable.
Well, because you look at everything and you look at emotion and it's all contagious, you know?
Sure.
So if you're down on yourself, suddenly your workout's going to be a little less intense because you're sad. And suddenly you go to comfort. So instead of eating that turkey wrap or that grilled chicken platter, you say, hey, let me open that bag of Doritos, because who doesn't love Doritos? And then, you know, then you eat some more. And then you say, why did I eat those Doritos? So you feel bad about yourself. And then that screws up the whole cycle, you know, because everything is motion, whether it's negative or it's positive. You don't want to power that train or the Strong Island Express, as I say, on negative fuel, because positive fuel, you will go a lot farther in life.
True. I agree.
Yep. But, you know, and that's only the way I see it. You know, I could be wrong. And once again, if we hashtag make it your own, that's what works for me. You know, I taught this girl, you know, and I'll never forget it. But I taught this girl that when she came in my class, you know, it was just like, you know, when you first start out. So, you know, you're lucky if you get one student. So I taught this girl. She was, you know, overweight. She had trouble walking. And every time, you know, we finished the workout, the first ever workout, Diamond Dozen, six moves, you know, we stopped and she's sweating. And I talked to her for, you know, about 2 hours after the workout. And she goes, oh, but I'm overweight. We're going to work on that. Oh, but I eat bad. We're going to work on that. We're going to work on that. And I kept repeating those words. We are going to work on that. And, you know, to make a long story short, you know, she found her path. She found her way. She became a professional weightlifter. She's featured in the
Wow
Yoga Bodies book by Lauren Lipton, which mentions me too, huh? But, you know, and I don't mean to knock it, because, you know, that is, you know, everyone's journey is different. But, like, I have this belief, and I tell my students that, you know, we put too much emphasis on that number on the scale, you know?
True.
And that is the old, for some people, and I'm not knocking it because it's their life, it's their journey. For some people, that is their only success point. So, you know, they kill their workouts all week. They kill their eating. They step on that scale. It's not a number they want. So suddenly that 30 seconds determines a whole week worth of workouts. And
yeah,
it's wrong. So suddenly you're like, oh, man, I messed up. Oh, it's all over. And then you're pissed off or sad for about another 48 hours.
Do you know, this is kind of taking a left turn, but once upon a time, I found myself in this cycle of getting stuck in weighing myself and getting really upset at the numbers that were being shown to me on the scale. And the only way that I got around it is I ran my scale over with my car.
I she was not taking her weigh-ins right. So one day before class, and I videotaped it, I said, meet me before class. We're going to smash the scale. She had no clue what we were doing. So we walk across the street. I take out a baseball bat, and I just start wailing on that scale. And
that's awesome.
You know,
that's
how you smash the scale.
I had a similar experience years ago. I put up a video because, you know, you get in that mode where you're depending on the scale. And I put up a video of me smashing the scale to symbolize that I was done, you know, living and dying by the scale. And the next morning I couldn't stand not knowing how much I weighed, so I went on button of the scale. So it was just a waste of money in the long run for me. I'm like, oh, wait, I actually want to know now.
That's so funny.
Oh, man, dude, that's pretty funny.
Yeah. Listen, once again, it's just my belief, but this girl's journey was being stopped by that number on the scale, you know?
Sure it was.
And how can you grow if you're restricted inside a box? And that's what that scale is. It's this little electronical box that you step on, and you're like, oh, God, what's it say? Oh, wait a minute. I got my pants on. Let me take them off. That'll be less weight. Oh yeah. Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. We've all been there, you know. And I think that you can probably agree, you know, Jesse. You know, when we grew up overweight, and a lot of us in this community have, we got that way because we created unhealthy habits regarding food and unhealthy ideas psychologically, also with food. And sometimes our solutions don't actually fix the problem, because it's still an unhealthy relationship with dieting and food, because
true,
you obsess over that little detail and you obsess over the things that, like, you get crazed over it. And ultimately you're getting yourself healthy, you're losing weight, but you're never resolving that obsessive, negative, bad relationship you have with food. So that is something, you know, the scale, if it becomes an issue where it becomes that obsessive to people, which it does for a lot of us, that's still an unhealthy relationship with food, an unhealthy relationship with dieting, which is what got you into this point to begin with.
I actually wasn't overweight as a child. I was actually underweight. So, but, you know, the overweight happened after, you know, I found my good old friend Jack Daniels, or as I like to call him, John Daniels, to help me sleep at night. And that was the end. But anyway, listen, yeah. I mean, life is about balance, and isn't that all what we're trying to find at the end of the day?
Yeah,
you know,
for sure we are.
Stand Up 3.0 coming soon. But how do you find that balance in your life? You know, because your balance is going to be different than Crystal's balance, different than my balance, you know? And that's really, at the end of the day, you know, you got to do what works for you, you know?
I think one of the, it's a really good thing. So I have, my workout room is called the Dungeon, and in the Dungeon I have quotes. They're everywhere. And one of the ones was, even mistakes burn calories. Which is really important for someone like me, because I fall on my face now more than I don't, because of my health condition. So, you know, my balance is wonky and I get frustrated and I get upset and why can't I do what everyone else does? And it wasn't until I was cleaning up the quote wall that I came across that one. And I think it was really important to just double state it again that, you know, it doesn't matter where you are. Just remember, even mistakes burn calories.
But is it a mistake, Crystal, or is it you learning something about yourself?
Ooh, it might actually be part of the learning curve. It might actually be. My dad is a doctor of psychology, so I tend to overthink things a lot. just simply, it's the nature of the beast, but for the most part, you're right. I mean, it very well could be just part of your learning curve.
Listen, we all fall on our face, but as you can tell, I'm a movie buff. To quote Batman, why do we fall, Master Bruce? So we can learn to pick ourselves back up again.
Pick ourselves back up again. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Do you go?
Oh no, I'm sorry. Go for it, man. There's a little bit of lag. Sorry about that.
It's all right. So, we talk about quotes, and I'll never forget one day, I meet my friend from high school. I haven't seen him since then, but, we have lunch, and I guess it was one of those random meetings, and he's like a pastor now, and he says to me, and this is when I was still going through my stuff, and it was a long, long time before DDP Yoga, but it was one of those things that sunk into my head. He gave me this Bible quote: "He is no fool that gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he can never lose." And, for me, that was, I had to give up fear, because I was told over and over again, how strong I am, how powerful I am. And this was before I started DDP Yoga, or how much of a champion I was. And I'm like, if I'm a champion, why do I keep getting sick? Why do these bad things keep happening?
Jesse, can you say that quote again?
He is no fool that gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he can never lose.
Wow. That's amazing.
And if we can make it gender conforming, you could change that to she, he, or anyone. I had to give up, not believing in myself, because to me, one of the scariest things is not proving people wrong, it's proving people right, And I was afraid of proving everyone right that told me how good I was, or, because they were setting the bar so high for me. And when you're in the pits of depression or sadness, that bar is like Mount Everest, dude, and you're just scared to climb it. And maybe we can also give that to the naysayers, You got this scary climb in front of you, but it's also this amazing climb that's full of discovery and beauty and learning who you are.
There's another quote that says that basically, somebody can tell you you're strong and you'll never believe it, but you actually are strong, but we're afraid to know just how strong we are.
I had a doctor tell me to stop running. I had a nurse when I was 12 years old in a wheelchair. And I'll never forget it. I got out of the wheelchair on my own and put myself into the bed. She came in screaming and yelling, put me on the bed, and she said to me, "You need to accept the truth that you are never going to walk again, and you need to get used to life in that wheelchair." That's one of those things I hear in the morning, and that was one of the most damaging things I had to hear as a child. Of course, spoiler, I proved it wrong, but in the same aspect, that nurse that told me that put me even farther down the mountain, because granted, I walked again, but suddenly, I was in a lot of pain, because mental pain is killer, dude. It's worse than any knee pain, because I could tell you I live with knee pain every day of my life.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful. Do you think, she, with her making that comment, as painful as it did, your will to prove her wrong, I mean, a lot of that anger probably, you know, turned into fuel, ultimately. And it's not a good thing. I'm not saying it's a positive thing or it's a thing to say to anybody, but the fact that she kind of put that on you, and I'd be freaking glad as hell to prove her wrong. And somewhere deep inside you, I'm sure that, that when that's going through your head in the morning, that anger turns to rocket fuel.
Oh, it didn't turn right away because I'll never forget. I wheeled myself into the bathroom and had this long conversation with a God I wasn't sure that existed, asking for answers on why he didn't take me. But yeah, it was right, you know. And then slowly, like, you know, it turned into unleaded fuel that turned into rocket fuel. But yeah, it was fuel, but it wasn't right away. It was the fossil waiting to turn into fuel.
Well, I mean, exactly. They, you know, we talk about mistakes. You know, the past year, through my health issues that I've had myself and, you know, the weight gain that I had put on, you know, I spend a lot of time looking back and saying, if I could do things differently, you know, I don't care who you are. I don't buy the I have no regrets thing. Yeah, sure, you ended up where you are. But everyone wishes they didn't say something mean to somebody, or they wishes they treated somebody differently, or I was nicer that way. We all have regrets, but the reality is we can't go back and do it over again. We can't go back and run the race again. And that's where, but I think one of the most powerful things that in the DDPY community is the react, adapt, breathe, and take action. Because ultimately, everything you do from now on, you can't step a minute into the past. The past is done. The only thing that, whatever mistakes were made, just becomes your new reality. And that becomes part of the baggage you carry along the way. But adapting to those mistakes and reacting to those, you know, things, when you were suffering with the drinking and when you were suffering for your health issues, you know, there's things that you probably wish you could choose differently. You would love to have done differently, but that's not your reality. So what you do in this moment, the reaction you have, how you adapt your life to your current circumstances is the most important thing you can do in this very moment. And the mistakes are gone, but the react, adapt, breathe, and take action is the best advice I may have been ever given in my life. And it really just breaks down how to calmly and rationally change the now.
That is pretty incredible and pretty amazing. And as you guys probably have learned or know about me, you know, I'm a bit unique, as Kat likes to say. I had regrets at one point, but, you know, now I don't, because everything got me to where I am today, you know. So the drinking, you know, the eating, the feeling sorry for myself, the at one point in my life not wanting to live, that got me to where I am today, where I can walk into a yoga studio, or I can walk into a foster home, and a girl that hasn't spoken in 2 years, you know, that after working out with me, this little girl, blind in one eye, hasn't spoken, can say to me, you know, because she didn't speak English, gracias, Jesse. And then everyone could look in the world, everyone in the room looks at me like, you know, like, what did he just do? It was because, like, you know, that's because of what I went through with the cancer wards and the pain and the death and the ICU and the dying, that, like, I can reach people that are hard to reach, you know? Mike,
yeah,
you got to, yeah. You got to embrace
Jesse,
it.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. You got to embrace your past. You got to embrace your demons. You got to embrace the things that you wish you could take back, because it got you to where you are today, Mike. It got you to interviewing people on the radio and hearing their stories. It got you. Are you married, Mike? Do you mind me asking?
Yeah,
I'm married.
You're married to a girl that you love, and you know, you're living your version of the quote-unquote American dream. Crystal, your struggles with your element, physical elements, and, you know, your deep writings online, if you didn't go through your pain, would you be able to do that?
Probably,
you know?
Not.
So, you shouldn't have any regrets in your life because it built you into who you are, you know? Do I want to go back there? No. No. Do I regret it? No, because it got me here. It got me doing things that just defy logic, because that's what people say, it doesn't make any sense what you do. And I say, and I just shrug my shoulders, you know?
And isn't that great?
Yeah. I trained my dad at 65 years old with DDP yoga and cardio and running. I trained him. In 4 months, he lost 40 pounds. He ran the half tough mutter with me. He carried me at 66 years old, 50 feet on his back. You know?
That's amazing.
And that, yeah, man. And if I didn't go through my shit, you think I would have been able to motivate my dad?
No.
He is the old school Italian, dude.
that's ultimate too, when you can pay it back to your loved ones, and you know that's something that we all dream of. And you know, your dad losing 40 pounds, he may have saved his life. You know, that 40 pounds is a lot of weight when you're older. There's a lot of people that struggle into their older years because it becomes harder to do things, harder to work out. You know, the stairs get harder, and you know that's inspiring that you were able to kind of take him and show him what it's meant to you.
He did all the obstacles, and I'll never forget, the year before I ran my first full tough mutter, and I'll never forget, you run through the electroshock therapy, and I'm like, how long is it to the end? And everyone goes a quarter mile. I said, see, you have to finish line. And I'm taking off. Dude, I'm running. I see my dad. He's sitting on the rail. He looks down, Kat, Ava, my cousin Jess, my uncle Vinny, my mom are there. He says, here he comes. And then, so I crossed the finish line, and, I learned that he was talking to Kat the whole time, saying he wanted to run it next year. And, you know, that's another story. But anyway, you flash forward to a year later to the exact day him and I are running across the bridge. And I'll say to him, and I said to him, you know, I said, a year ago, Dad, and I'm, screaming in that, heavy coaching voice, you sat on that rail, and you said, here he comes. 1 year later to this day, I'm saying, here we come. That doesn't make you feel alive. Check your freaking pulse. But I didn't say freaking. You can imagine what I said.
That's
had that moment with my dad, dude.
That's amazing, and that's an ultimate gift right there. Great inspiration coming up on Father's Day too. We have a minute 40 left before they knock us off the air, so I want to properly wrap it up. But thank you so much, man, for coming on with us, and give us if you have any websites or anything where people can look up and see what classes you're doing.
I am teaching at MedWell Spa on Long Island, Belmore, 2578 Merrick Road, Belmore, New York. You could go to medwellspa.com and check it out. First class free. If you're listening, I'll make sure Lori waives her membership fees. You can go to crowdrise.com if you want to help me with my Tough Mother Fund to the Abbott House Project. Search Jesse Ruggieri. Kicking it a little money if you have it, so I can build a playground for traumatized children. That would be great. And yeah, that's about it.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for coming on with us. We really appreciate it. And keep fighting the good fight, man.
My pleasure, guys.
We appreciate it very much. We got 40 seconds. Crystal, you got something we can squeeze in 40 seconds?
Of course I do. So tonight's quote is from the movie Cool Runnings, and it's appropriate. A gold medal is a wonderful thing.
Make us get a bobsled team?
But, yeah. But if you're not enough without the gold medal, you'll never be enough with one either.
Drops the mic, walks off the air.
All right, guys. We'll see you. I'm sorry. I ruined that for you, Crystal.
That's
all right, guys.
All right.
Till next week. We'll see you guys. We got 1 second. Have a great week.
Texas today, man. That was a great workout, man.
The powerbomb set up by Paige.
Oh!
Into the Diamond Cutter.
I don't believe it. Diamond Cutter out of the powerbomb.
We're going home.
You've been listening to DDP Radio. Tune in again next week for another edition of DDP Radio with more great guests, inspiration, and news from Diamond Dallas Page and Team DDP Yoga. Keep up all the great work, and most importantly,
own your life.